going to look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 34. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say it to you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I did already preach, huh? That's a good thing about God's word. All you got to do is read it. You don't even have to add nothing to it. It's just like, that's why he told you, don't add not one jot, no one jittle, you know. But today's sermon is called Mad at God. Mad at God. Mad at God. M-A-D. Mad at God. My son, during the past, one day came to me and he said to me, I'm mad. I'm so mad at God. And I hate this fast. I'm mad that we got to be on this fast. All right. This is just on the cusp of. This is stemming from the fact that of the fast and that he couldn't watch TV. He couldn't listen to, his music and all of the things of the world that he was, participating in and eagerly wanted to be a part of and continue to commence in. Those were just real feelings that he was feeling, So he said to me, God don't want us to have no fun. And he proceeded to say other things that I can't remember verbatim, but he was expressing himself. And he was feeling, he was expressing what he was feeling and experiencing. And what he was feeling and experiencing was that tug of war battle that us all Christians go through. I didn't get upset at him. You know, he was speaking his true feelings. You know, my take on this sudden speaking of the mind was that this is good. This is a good thing. You know, he's willing to, you know, express himself and be honest and truthful about the way he feel on the inside. He could be, you know, keeping it in, right? And then later on at some point, it can come out in a whole another way that I really didn't want to see, right? Or that wouldn't have been beneficial to him or anybody. So I said, this is a good thing. He's expressing himself. Not only did he set up a moment, he set the table up for a moment of teaching. Not only did he set a moment up to teach, but also he caused me to think. I said to myself many times and have this philosophy that if I think something, a million people think the same thing. I tell my kids that over and over again, and people at work, you know, a lot of people I talk to, you know, if I think something, a million other people thinking it. If you think something, a million other people thinking it. We all come from the same dirt. We was all breathed in to our bodies, life from the same God, right? So we all the same, right? We all come from the same cloth, the same matter, right? So we can't be too far different from each other, you know, in our physical state or in our mental state, the way we think. There's nothing new under the sun, right? And we all are getting information from the same places, right? You know, so he's thinking this, and I'm like, okay, this is what we're dealing with right now. This is what we're dealing with worldwide. Is we dealing with a whole generation, a whole world full of people that are mad at God because they can't get their way. They're mad at God because they can't live life the way they accustomed to living. They can't live life the way they want to, right? So he's representing the minds of millions. And he's a byproduct of the thinking and the desires of this world's agendas. We're living in a time of spiritual warfare. I spoke about this last time I got up, and we were reading in Ephesians chapter 6 through 10 and on about putting on the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil, so that we can stand against his many schemes. So I said, look, this is what I proceeded to speak to my son in effort to give him an understanding. And I pray that this will be a blessing to you all who hear. First thing I said to him is that this flesh that we are clothed in is opposed to the things of God. We look at Genesis 8 and 21. God says the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Yes. Look at Romans 8, 7. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Matthew 6, 24. No man can serve two gods, two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and serve mammon. Right? Right now we serving somebody. Right? We serving somebody. And it's a war going on. And we have to understand that in our minds, in our hearts, if we're going to actually be able to get to a place to where we're going to serve God in entirety, in full, the way we were designed to. Satan has raised many generations on lies. Those lies are now ingrained in our DNA. He's become a master over many. As a child, we are put in a driver's seat. You remember that infamous question when you were probably in about second, third grade or so, right? What did they ask you? What do you want to be when you grow up? Right? Now, the driver's seat is no place for a child. Would you guys agree to that? You put your child in the driver's seat and tell them to drive me to church? Huh? No, he's going to get in the back, right? What happened to the days when children came from the womb and they were given a name that proclaimed who they were? Children being given to the Lord. Remember Hannah? She gave her son away to be a priest. And he didn't come out and they didn't ask him, what you want to be when you grow up? No. She gave him away. She said, you're going to be a priest. Right? You're going to go here, you're going to learn, and this is who you're going to be. Right? Back in the days, they would give names to their children. As soon as they came out the womb. This is your name because this is what you represent. This is your name because this is the pain that you gave me. This is your name because God blessed me, you know, to have you. This is your name because, right? Even God gave names. This is going to be his name because he's going to be this type of person, right? Names meant something, right? And from a child wasn't asked, what you want your name to be? Right? Because he didn't have no knowledge. Right? He didn't know no better. And kids today, they don't know no better. And many of us as adults don't know no better. And we got to learn some better. Right? So that we can become better and that we can serve God better. So we've been lied to. Yeah, I said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And then you look at these options. The schooling system has already been working in conjunction with the media. The question is just a means of activation, right? We've been at home watching TV. We've been listening to the radio. We got all of our, idols out there, American idols and so forth. People singing these songs and living these lifestyles and stuff like that. You know, so by time, you know, we get to school, and they ask us that question, what you want to be when you grow up? It's just an activation question, right? Activate, right? You already been taught what you should be, what you should desire, what you should want to be, right? I want to be a gangster. I want to be a player, right? I want to be rich. I want to be famous. You know, and this is, you know, what our children are struggling with. You know, when we don't name them from birth, right? When we don't give them instruction from birth, when we don't put them in the back seat and tell them, look, this is who you're going to be. This is who you are. This is who you designed to be and how you designed to behave, right? If we don't, they're going to go figure it out on their own, right? So, we've been lied to. Information has been withheld from us. Withholding information is deception. David just talked about it the last 2 weeks, about lies. And Satan, he's the father of lies. He's gotten us so very far away from who we are, knowledge and he's gotten us far away from a knowledge of God's purpose for us. He's got us so very far away from God's law, his commandments, and desires. Who are we? We are man. We're man created by God, for God, in the image of God. We are made for worship. To have a relationship with God. Pastor preached about it some weeks ago. Revelation is everything, right? How can we have a relationship with God, or how can we serve a God who we don't know, right? So Satan has put us in a position where we've been withheld information. We don't know who our maker is, who our God is, but we know who he is, though. And we know his desires. You know, we know what he wants us to be. You know, we puppets right now. All right. We sin, continuing on who we are. We sinned, and we put a strain on a supposed relationship that man is supposed to have with God. God didn't sin. We sinned. Man sinned. We got to take ownership of that. God, in his profound love for man, sent his beloved son to be crucified so that we don't have to pay the penalty for the eternal damnation for our sin. And so that's our relationship with the Father. And so that our relationship with the Father could be restored. This is why Jesus went to the cross. This is what God did out of his amazing love for us. Okay? And this is who we are. This is our history. We look at Mark chapter 14, 36. It says, Jesus prayed, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. When Jesus came here, do you suppose at any point that he was concerned with having fun? Did he come here with a desire to be rich? Did he come here with those type of aspirations? Did he come here wanting to be a star? Did he come here wanting a plethora of chicks under his arms? You know what I mean? Just, you know, walk around with a donkey rope on and everything. And, hey, I'm Jesus, you know. He could have, right? You know, Satan took him to the mountaintop and tried to offer to it, but he already owned it all. You know what I mean? He's God in the flesh. He could have came down and just, you know, it's a party, y'all. I made y'all. This is how I want to live. It's me. I'm here. Right? You know? He could have did that. But it's much bigger than that, though. You know? He came here and he was obedient to the will of the Father, not his will. He didn't want to take that cup. Right? Who would? Would you take that cup? Mm-mm. Right? So this is what was done for us out of such great love. And yet we got the nerve to get mad at God because he requires us to serve him and to be obedient. Right? And to live a certain life that he designed for us to live, as opposed to this life of lies that we've been duped into believing is reality. When Jesus came here, Christ didn't come for all of that. He came and he was on a mission. He was on a mission from the beginning to save man. So we should be. We should be on a mission as well. And our purpose, mission, is not to achieve the American dream. Mark 16:15 says, the Great Commission. Jesus says, go into the world and proclaim the gospel to all creation. Okay? That's our mission. What is a mission? A mission is an important assignment. Okay? I looked the word mission up in the dictionary, and I like the second definition it gave. It says, the vocation or calling of a religious organization, especially a Christian one, to go into the world and spread his faith. Now, that's in the world's dictionary. Right? Even the world recognize, right, the mission, the supposed mission of the believer, of the Christian. Right? Sometimes when it's right in your face, though, it can be hidden. And you not even realize it, not even recognize it. You know, but here, it's just showing that, you know, the prince of the ruler of the air, he realizes it. He knows it. He don't want you to know it. So we ought to be on a mission to go into the world and spread the faith, to spread the gospel. That's who we are. That's who we were called to be. And that's what will busy us for the rest of our lives. That's my main points for today, is that we have to change our thinking about why we're here. We have to learn our purpose and our reason as to why we're here. And like I read chapter 19 and on in Matthew chapter 6, it tells us to lay not up your treasures in heaven. Now, how many of us believe that every word in the Bible is true? Every word. How many of us believe that God does not waste words? He doesn't waste words. He doesn't waste words. So why is it that when we look at his word, a lot of times we just take it with a grain of salt? Oh, he doesn't really mean that. Or he just speaking in a, you know, a matter of fact state, or, you know, he's just trying to give us example. You know, everything he does is just, you know, or says to us, he's not speaking literally, but he's just speaking as a, you know, just speaking just to get us to think. Or whatever it is, however it is that we process it, right? But every word that he speaks is literal, right? That's why he put it in the word. You know, this word has been broken down into a certain amount of books, a certain amount of words. God, can you imagine, you know, how long he's existed, how long this Bible can be? You know, if he wanted it to just be, it could be forever if he wanted it to be, right? But he made sure the right words and the right things was put in here so that we can grab a hold of them and understand that, look, this is what I mean. When I say lay not up your treasures in heaven, I mean when I say not lay not up your treasures on earth, right? That's what I mean. Okay? Don't come here hoping to be this and to be that and to be that. And once you accepted Jesus Christ in your life and you've accepted the gift of salvation, you've accepted his calling. You have. And once you've accepted the gift of salvation, there is an expectation of you now. Of how you are to live, right? There's now a way of escape from this old way in which you've been thinking and what you've become dependent on and what you've been tied to and what's been ingrained in you. And now there's a way of escape for you to get over to the real side, to reality, right? That way of living, that way of thinking, that's going to allow you not to be mad at God, but to understand God and understand that you really don't have an understanding. You don't know nothing, right? That's where Job found out. Remember when he got mad, when he went through all his trials and tribulations and stuff like that, He knew the word better than anybody. As a matter of fact, he was, you know, he was upright and blameless. That's what God called him, right? And all his friends from around far and near, they knew how knowledgeable he was about the word of God. And when he was going through his trials and stuff like that, they came and they tried to exhort him and help him out and to, you know, rebuke him and all this kind of stuff. And in terms of his anger and what he was saying, and with all the knowledge that he had, he got broken down. Satan knew that he was vulnerable, and he broke him down so far to where he ended up saying some things that, right, that he shouldn't have been saying. But what he learned, though, is that, look, I don't know nothing. You know, if you read all the way to the end of the book, right, all the exhortation is given and stuff like that from his friends and from different people, and then God speaks. It's like, tell me who made this. Tell me who made that. Where were you? Right? You know so much. You know this. You know that. You know, you want to blame me. You want answers. You want this. You want that. Tell me how much you really know. And when it came down to it, he was like, I didn't know nothing. I got to repent. I got to repent. Right? And that's how we are. We don't know nothing. We don't know nothing. We got so much to learn about who we are and who and where we want to go, right? And how to get there, right? And how to get there is spoken of in this word that we say we believe in. And if we believe in it, we really got to buy into it. You know, we can't just continue to just have it in our pockets or have it in our windshield and in the car or have it at the house and speak about pieces of it here and pieces of it there and think that that's going to get it. It's not going to get it. This one guy said, he said, people are going to be surprised to, and I'm just paraphrasing it because I can't remember it all, but he said, those who thinking that they're serving God a little bit, I'm going to be very surprised to find out that they're not serving God at all. Okay? A little bit ain't going to get it. Right? Half a lie is a whole lie. Right? Right? And we got aspirations as believers, as Christians, to go way beyond what this earth has to provide for us. Right? But Satan wants us to think differently. Right? And this is the point that I want to press upon you all today, is that, look, we're not promised tomorrow. The Bible tells us that. I don't know what happened to it. I have some scriptures that in here. And they ain't here no more. But nonetheless, you guys know that I'm right on point when I say when I say the word say, because you guys are in your word. We're a family that studies the word. So I know you guys know the word. I know you guys know or have read that we are not promised tomorrow. You know, it says, take not worry for tomorrow because you don't know what it's going to bring. Right? But why do we want to live, right, for tomorrow? Why do we make so much plans? And this is a hard thing to think about. It's a hard thing to ponder. You know, it's a hard thing to chew on. This is a, like the Colonel says, it's a real meal. Right? It ain't for $5. It's a real meal, though. Right? You think about it. You know, I think about it all the time, you know. Like I talked about last week, you know, it's got to be more to life than just, you know, serving God. You know, how can you just serve God all day long and just be about his business all day long? Well, Jesus gave us the example, right? And time is flying so fast now that, look, along with the fact that you're not promised tomorrow, it don't matter if you promise 50 more years. You're going to look back and you're going to be like, man, where did the time go? Right? And you don't want to be caught up, you know, fulfilling your dreams. Then all of a sudden, then what? Then what? What's going to happen when you strike it rich? What's going to happen when you get famous? Then what? Right? You invested all that into just this small little fragment of time. I mean, this right here is not even as small as the fragment of time that we live on this earth in comparison to eternity. Okay? So the point is live for eternity. Live for eternity. Don't live for today. Don't live for now. God told us and gave us a commission to go out and spread the gospel. Live holy like I'm holy. Right? Serve me. Right? Store up your treasures in heaven. For where your treasures are, that's where your heart is going to be. Okay? We got to get out of this being caught up in the things of the world. Okay, we're going to make plans, right? That's just a wise thing to do, right? We don't want to just go out and, you know, have a party and live like it's 1999, right? Well, there's a difference between 1999, right, and not living or not knowing whether you're going to live tomorrow, right? So we still make plans and we still are wise with the things that God gives us, right? You know, but our main focus and our main plan should be to be on God's mission, to be living for Him day in and day out. That's where our heart should be, right? And let everybody else play with those things on earth in which moth and dust destroy. Okay? That's for the Gentiles. Okay? We were once Gentiles, but now we grafted into the body of Christ. We're different now. We're new creatures. Okay? And we got to really begin to buy into that and believe that deep down in our hearts. We're not the same no more. So those same desires that I used to have, Lord, take them out. You ain't going to be able to do it yourself, but you got to pray. Lord, take them desires away from me. You know, be honest. You know, like my son was. I'm mad at God. Lord, I want to be a pimp so bad. I do. I do. Right? You know, I do. That's what I want to do. Not me. That's not what I want to be. I don't want to be a pimp. Right? Well, I'm just saying. You know, this is, you know, a little extremity, you know, to drive across a point. Drive across a point, you know, to be honest. This is what I want, because if you're not honest, guess what? The Lord is not going to bless you in your, it's a lie. Exactly. It's like David, again, he preached last week. You know, if you're going to harbor the truth within inside yourself, guess what? You're lying. And who are you lying to? Yourself. You ain't lying to me. You ain't lying to God. You're lying to yourself, and you blocking your deliverance. Okay? You blocking your eternity with the Father. All right? That's what should be of most importance right there. Eternity with the Father. All right? Don't go for the Turkish delight. You know, the Turkish delight is just a means to lure you, you know, into some fun for a moment, so that you can end up with Satan and his eternal, you know, outcome. Okay? I don't want none of us to end up with that outcome. I don't want. Anybody want to end up with that outcome? You want to be in heaven with the Father, right? All right. So that's my message today. And I pray it's a I really pray.